Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. It's me, Ronnie, over here, and over there is Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, I just over-there'd you.
Yeah, I'm over here. over there.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Today is glorious Top Chef Day. It's a very sad day here because it's the Top Chef season finale, and I'm not really okay with that.
I know. I'm sad. I want more and more Top Chef, especially the season was so good.
It really was. And usually by the end of a season, really of anything, but especially, you know, Bravo, like a Housewives show or something, I'm like, I'm done. Get rid of it. Like, I've had it.
Yeah.
But God, I just wanted more and more of this one.
Well, Padma does have a new show that's out on Hulu called Taste the Nation. And the first episode, I actually watched the first two episodes just because I actually love those shows where people walk around and eat food. And the first episode, Padma went to your hometown of El Paso, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah. She picked a brand new restaurant. Okay. Call me Padma. Call me first. Okay. Got plenty of El Paso food for you to go in on. Yeah. But we'll talk about that in a minute. For now, we're going to talk about some Black-owned businesses, okay?
Okay.
So we're still doing small business shout-outs here at Crappens, so go support these people. First up is a store in my current town, Austin, Texas, called Black Pearl Books, okay? They have a great website. They'll ship nationwide. They're, reading through this email. Their Instagram handle is at Black Pearl Books, and their website is blackpearlbookstore.com.
Sweet. And then one of our listeners, Bridget, wrote to tell us about her friend Dee, who owns an online boutique called Quamboca. It's a Black-owned boutique that specializes in handmade jewelry, clothing, and handbags crafted by artisans in Kenya. Dee is a native Kenyan and has amazing style. Please check out her Instagram at Quamboca_KE or her website, Quamboca.com. And that's spelled Quamboca.com. And that's the same spelling with an underscore and a KE for Instagram. So go check that out. That's awesome.
What is Kevin's last name from Top Chef?
Kevin, my grandpappy had an airline.
Kevin American Airlines, that's my name. Kevin Delta, Kevin Delta, Delta, Delta.
Kevin Southwest.
His name is Kevin Gillespie. I'm going to look up Kevin Gillespie apology.
Yeah, after all, let's not forget that. When he first got voted off, Tom said, Kevin Gillespie, you're a good man. You're a good man, Kevin Gillespie. So he has an apology. Is this for his Confederate flag tattoo?
It wasn't that specific, and it's so weird that it's not showing up right away. Actually, apology letter. Here, I'll write apology letter.
Okay.
Maybe that'll be better. Sorry, everybody. I'm doing a lot of Googling at the beginning of the show. Welcome to Monday, okay?
I want to apologize to my grandma, because I apologize that I was not able to introduce her America's first curry to people who would understand it better.
I apologize for always being moved to first class. Suckers!
He didn't really specify why he was apologizing. That's a new word. He was just saying, I'm sorry for what I said. And it was really long and very Kevin. I was like, okay, I'm already done with this. But I'm guessing it's because he said Shanghai'd, like you guys Shanghai'd that and like his plantation stuff. I'm not really sure, but Kevin apologized if anyone cares. I guess Google doesn't.
Yeah, apparently not. Well, for those of you who don't know, I actually saw the picture. He does have like some tattoo that, was it like a skull that had a hat and the hat had a Confederate flag? It was something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's great. Just great. Love that. Love that for him. Love that.
Yeah. A-hole. Okay, so here we are, the finale. Previously,
the greatest competitors in Top Chef history.
We have three non-famous poor people who are competing to speak Italian as well as I do. Exacto.
We have three people left standing and one person sitting in a terrible dress.
Sorry, Gail.
Previously on Top Chef, Gail ruined the entire Italian fashion industry just by showing up.
And they're doing it very Olympic style, where it's like, dun, 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 dun. I have unfinished business here.
Melissa has more wins than any competitor in the history of Top Chef, and she still didn't win the first time around. You'll always have to live with that. So sorry.
And just like the Olympics, Melissa has a super sad story to tell us. She's like, one time I didn't do that well after Restaurant Wars. I'm like, Melissa, stop being traumatized by the one time you didn't win everything, okay?
Yeah, Melissa's arc is like, I was awesome and then awesome and more awesome and then more awesome. And then I made a grapefruit salad and now I'm back to being awesome. So it's been really tough.
And the private chef who is seen as the underdog, Stephanie Smaller, which is a perfect name for her, actually. Oh, did you watch the Watch What Happens Live? Apparently, Padma was like every answer was Stephanie, and he's like, "Whoa, who are you most surprised at being Stephanie?" All right, well, who has the driest bread out of it, Stephanie?
Who has the worst interpretation of a cuisine that's thousands of years old and from your native country of India, Stephanie? I think her name is Smar or something like that. I don't think it's Smaller. It's Smar.
Oh, I wrote that down and I put, how did I not know that? That's amazing.
Because that's what Padma calls her. And now Stephanie Smaller. It's Smar. Whatever, non-Indian chef. That sounded vaguely racist. I apologize. I didn't mean it from that place. I meant it because Stephanie made Indian food for Padma and it was a silly, silly thing for her to do.
Yeah. So Stephanie's like, oh, at first I was in the bottom of everything, but then I had a turning point and now I'm the most confident I'll ever be. I'm happy and I definitely deserve this. I was like, uh-oh. No, don't throw Stephanie back into depression. Please.
Please don't. Tonight is the finale of Top Not Nilu.
Welcome to Top. Why is Nilu here again?
How many times do I have to put my back to Nilu before someone realizes that we have to get rid of her?
I just put, ugh, Luigi triggers me. Like every time they show him, when they flash all the chefs that have been there.
Yes.
It's like, flash, flash, flash. Hee hee, Mario. I'm like, oh, damn you, Luigi.
I get untriggered, though, when I see Jen in the opening credits, and she's just like, yeah, I'm still in the credits, even though I got kicked off of my damn sunshine lemon sauce.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm a much nicer person now, but I'm going to flip the fuck out of the shrimp in this pan that you're watching right now. What I'm going to do. I'm not going to get mad about it. I'm just going to make a lot of fire come up from the stove.
Jen, please calm down. You're alarming our good friends at San Pellegrino.
So here we are, all the way in Italy and staying at a Renaissance. I'm so yes. Sorry for you. Were there no non-chain? Was there too much ham hanging from the non-chain hotels?
Not only is Italy the home of the Renaissance, it's also the home of the Renaissance Hotel where you'll be staying. Enjoy.
So they get a note, and it's so dry. It's like, congratulations. You deserve it. Eat breakfast. When you're done, go outside. I'll be there.
Yeah. She's like, eat breakfast. You earned it. Like what? They didn't earn breakfast all those other times? And when you're done, see me on the terrace. I'll be there watching Gail from afar as she tries to figure out how to order a piece of bread from an Italian vendor down the street. Just trust. It'll be hilarious. Just trust me.
So Voltaggio's like, whoa, how did everyone sleep? I slept well because this is a milestone and we all fought to get here. And I mean, it's a milestone.
I slept pretty well, but I was woken up by that amazing aroma of breakfast.
And then he reminds us that he got a really tough critique last week and he's still upset about it. And then we get a clip of Padma going, your food was like Gail's closet. It lacks soul, heart, and proper shoulder shapes, Brian.
My food is a bit more progressive and modern, so maybe it's associated with that, not associated with soul or heart, but innovation does come from a place of love, so you'll see it in the next cook. Yeah, and I did just use cook as if it were a noun, but well, it is a noun, but not a noun in that sense. But anyway, heart and soul, yeah, I'm gonna slap you right in the face with heart and soul.
Innovation. I mean, innovation has soul. The guy who invented toenail clippers, was he soulless? Okay, I'm sure he wrote poetry. The steam train, that guy had soul. Fly zappers, don't tell me that guy didn't have soul, right?
You're telling me the guy who invented wire hangers didn't have heart and soul?
Utility, the restaurant. By Brian Voltaggio.
So they go out to this terrace where it's like all foggy, and Padma's like, "Good morning, chefs. You've come a long way to be standing here in the finale. How does it feel to be standing in front of us, two famous people?"
"Look at all this fog. You'd almost think I was the star of Ice Age. So, Tom, anything to say?" She's wearing like one of those big furry sleeved and collared jackets. It's like Padma. She was. Does Padma's wardrobe get its own plane? Because I've never seen such big furs in one week.
I know, seriously. I mean, how does she find such high fashion in Italy? So then she's as you can tell, I called in the fog, so it seems a little bit more mysterious. You know what I say about fog? It's sort of like God's foam. You know what I'm saying? Super annoying, Brian.
What soulless fog, God? Take a note.
So, have any of you guys learned anything new about yourself? Yes, I learned something. I learned that I could be around poor people and still enjoy it. Oh, you're not asking me? Okay.
Stephanie's like, well, I learned that I have perseverance. You know, my whole life before this was, do we have enough paper clips in the office? And now, here I am, and I'm proud of myself.
You should be proud, because honestly, after you tried to serve me Indian food, I would have just retired to a cave and never come out for the rest of my life. Congratulations.
Voltaggi is like, well, I learned that people who invent things and are useful are soulful as well. For example, the guy who invented toenail clippers. He's got soul. That's what I learned. Thank you.
And Melissa's like, it was about finding my inner strength, really, and realizing that at the end of the day, I just want to get on a scooter with a girl. So,
that's well, we've been blown away by all of you, and we expect nothing less with your finale meal. Each of you will be responsible to make the best progressive four-course meal of your life. No twists.
Unlike Gail's patterns, there'll be no twists. Mm.
And she starts naming all these famous chefs who were coming. And yes. Marcus Samuelson. I was like, you know what? Marcus Samuelson, the worst thing he ever did was go on Chopped. Because every time I see him now, I'm like, you're on Chopped. Okay.
Seriously. Marcus Samuelson, Daria Caccini, Claire Smith, who's the best female chef in the world. Also, Mauro Conner, who is the number one spot on our dear friend San Pellegrino's 50 best restaurant list. Just to name a few.
And guess what? Well, we've brought reinforcements, otherwise known as a plan B, which your son should have had when he decided to put liquid in cups and mix them up and call that a living.
Huh. All right, here are your quote-unquote reinforcements. We got Leanne, who has been pretty terrible for a lot of people, and we have Kevin, who is wearing a little airplane pin. I don't understand that. And Malarkey, who we actually had to spend money on because Gregory has a bad back, so we actually flew this asshole all the way to Italy. Huh.
Each of you will get one of these losers, all right? Gregory's back hurts, so he's at home.
So Leanne has graciously stepped in. Oh, yeah, that's right. I guess Malarkey was already there.
Leanne has graced us with her yolk, her sunny-side-up egg scarf.
Leanne, did you mean to wear a scarf that looks like bacon and eggs? Because you know we are very close to Milan, and you do run the risk of being thrown out of Italy for that ridiculous scarf.
So Voltaggio picks the first knight, and he gets to pick first. So he takes Kevin, because he's my best friend.
Actually, Stephanie got first choice, and she chose Malarkey, which was surprising.
Oh, I wrote them backwards. Padma goes, but why?
Why did you pick Malarkey? By the way, Malarkey was the answer to a New York Times crossword puzzle clue recently, and I was fully triggered by it. But so why did you pick Malarkey? And Stephanie goes, well, his enthusiasm and his skill, like, we just, like, fell in love, you know, during Restaurant Wars. Oh, okay, that's great. I was hoping that you were going to say, because he's uniquely terrible and he's going to ruin all your food. That's what I'm hoping for.
I love when anybody picks Malarkey. She goes, can I ask why? Padma just openly hates Malarkey.
Oh, we have a letter here, Stephanie, from Ruth Reichel that says, you picked a no good son of a bitch who doesn't do honor to the food he cooks. Good luck.
Yeah. And so Patton was like, so have you worked with Leanne, Melissa? And Melissa's like, we haven't. I'm so happy. This is going to be so great. Like, yeah. Didn't they work together in Restaurant Wars?
No, they never worked together. And Padma's face is like, oh, well, this is awkward. I'm glad my dear friend Lena Waithe isn't here to see it.
Well, who was it when they were... I thought it was Restaurant Wars when someone was being mean... Leanne was being mean to the waiters. Didn't Melissa take over and say, no, we're not going to do that?
I think like that was... Or was that... I thought that was Stephanie who
maybe
did
it was
that.
Stephanie, yeah.
Oh, I don't even remember where Melissa was during Restaurant Wars. No, I think Melissa was on Kevin's team. But I could be wrong. I think it was Gregory. It was Gregory and Leanne and Malarkey and Stephanie were on their restaurant.
Okay, my memory. Yeah. Don't ever ask me to be on a jury or a witness for anything, because I just make shit up. I'm like, Bette Midler did steal the diamond. She did. And then she sold cocaine. And then Shelley Long came along and hotwired a car, and they ran off together. That's how it happened, officer.
I thought that Melissa did her best work cooking with Danny DeVito. That was, to me, the power couple.
I mean, Rhea Perlman did get jealous. But once they got past that.
Chefs, today you and your sea chefs are going to Florence to shop at the Metrocatore Centrale. After which, we'll all laugh about how you can't speak Italian and don't understand any of the ingredients you just bought. Ha ha.
Pretty much. I wrote, you're going to the hub of something somewhere you don't understand anyway. So good luck, stupids.
Stupids. It all comes down to this. One of you will walk away with a $250,000 grand prize from our friends at San Pellegrino.
Wonderful tuna. Fortuny tuna. There, that's what I have to say about that one. Oh, by the way, the loser has to wear Malarkey's hat.
You know, just stick to your guns and don't make this easy on us and have some fun. Some of us have had it a little easy in life. I guess like my son, for instance, who was raised in a cradle of wealth and had all the opportunities in the world to become a chef just like his father, and he chose to become a mixologist. I guess he didn't take it easy either, because he was going down a career path that has not a lot of longevity or flexibility or really much of a path. It's not really much of a path. It's more of just a step you take, and then that's it, and then you die.
It's a long slide down. It's a path made out of a slide that just goes lower and lower into your father's depression. Okay.
You ever see that movie Lord of the Rings and they throw a ring in the volcano? Imagine that his career is the ring and the volcano is life. So there.
Oh, God. I just tore a tag off my shirt that has just been scratching the fuck out of my love handles. And finally, I was strong enough to do it, guys. I mean, finally, I've built up the finger strength to rip it off, and now I have a big hole where my love handle is. So, things are going great over here!
You know what I have to say to that?
Just an update on my personal life, guys.
You don't have to say to that. Buona fortuna a tutti.
Fortunate tuna. Everybody.
Natalie, Joe, Blair, and Tootie.
Okay, so they all get in their respective cars to go to Fortune Tortuna. And Melissa and Leanne are talking, and Leanne's taking harsh notes. And, you know, I think anybody who watches this show is terrified for Melissa because Leanne is very, very bossy. But Melissa knows that, so she knows how to deal with her. She deals with her pretty well, I have to say.
Yeah, Melissa's way of dealing with Leanne is nodding in a non-committal way and looking in a different direction. Because Leanne's like, I made an octopus in a pressure cooker and it's perfect. So what I'm saying is 3,000 octopuses and 200 pressure cookers and we're set for the entire meal. Am I right? Melissa's like, yeah.
And she just kind of stares off into space like, what am I going to say? How am I going to get out of this? So then Malarkey is with Stephanie in his car, and he's just such a jackass as usual. He's like, well, to be honest, I'm proud, I'm excited, and I didn't think he'd make it this far. A major change in the Moleskine. This is why people started typing notes instead of just writing them down, because now my Moleskine looks stupid, so thanks for that.
Yeah, and Stephanie's basically like, I don't think a lot of people thought I would get this far, but I don't really care, because I did.
I did. I made it.
I made it.
So excited.
Yeah. So excited.
So she's going to make manscatofe. Oh, wait. Okay. No, don't wait. Don't wait. I was just reminding myself that I took pictures of all the food because I'm too lazy to write it down. Okay.
Did you mean to take all those photos instead of writing it down like Malarkey and his Moleskine?
So what's Stephanie going to make?
They don't even really know yet. I think they're just sort of like thinking about things. I don't know. She wants to make food that she likes that like represents her. You know, the usual shit. Yeah. So Kevin's, meanwhile, in the other car, Kevin's like, you know, it's been a long time since I've been a sous chef, but I'll do whatever you need me to do. But I just want to emphasize it's been a long time since I've been a sous chef, which is implicitly telling you that I'm a very, very capable master chef. So there's that.
And Voltaggio's like, lasagna. My mother made lasagna, which was feeling things. And I had that in my childhood, which reminds people of feelings. So I'm going to do this because it will remind people of feelings. Lasagna!
Can we take that lasagna and sort of like cram it into a ball? I think that would be a really good direction for it.
Lasagna balls, that's what I say. He's like, okay, but listen, what I think you should do, you have to remember modern interpretive food, but keep it recognizable so all these people can spot it before they know what it is.
Okay, you've been kicked off twice, so why don't you just shut your yap over there and let I don't think Voltaggio is looking for fucking advice from you, sir.
It's like what I always told the flight attendants when I flew Grandpappy's Airlines. I want my food and I want it now! So have it quick and ready.
So they go to the market and they have 1 hour to spend there. And
which is, by the way, sorry to interrupt, but like they drive all the way to Florence just to spend 1 hour at the market and then turn around and go back. I mean, that seems ridiculous. Let them have like 2 hours for crying out loud.
You know, I don't know. I don't know the geography. So I was like, wow, look at them. I love the car.
I just feel like they're owed 2 hours. Like, why not? Why give them an extra hour in Florence? Let them have it. Let them have it in the finale. Yeah. I mean, Melissa's going to get lost. And I'm not Melissa. Stephanie's going to get lost like five times over, you know? She'll wind up on that bridge. Ponte Vecchio, I think. Is that what it's called?
Kevin's just going to go into every store like, do you want to sign this for 50,000 extra frequent flyer miles?
He's just gonna be knocking over all the products as he like flies around with his arms out like, "Wee!
I'm a little airplane! Wee!"
Which store has little bags of peanuts?
So yeah, they're in the market and Melissa, she wants to get duck, but she finds what she calls like squab like birds. So she gets those and she gets a bunch of octopus and persimmons and stuff like that, which is exciting.
And Malarkey just keeps passing things going, oh yes, porcini mushrooms. Oh my god, look, it's a walnut. Oh my god, look at that. It's a tomato. You want me to get that?
And Leanne is being an aggressive helper. Like, she's doing that thing where she's not really helping, but she's being loud about her helping, so that way she gets credit for helping, you know? So she's like, you need microchives? Okay. You need cilantro? No. Lemongrass?
Arugula?
No. Okay. Arugula? I just want to circle back to the microchives. Are we sure? No microchives. Okay.
Yeah. And Melissa's like, no, we don't need any of that. Like, but nuts. Candied walnuts? You need some candied walnuts?
Nuts. Plaster. Do you want to possibly build a wall? Because you might want to build a wall for fun. No plaster? Okay. Do you want this souvenir t-shirt that says, I went to Florence and all I got was this t-shirt? Because it's good. It's hilarious.
I'm going to buy this t-shirt that says, I'm with stupid. Anything for you at all? Candied walnuts while I'm here?
Do you want the snow globe? There's a snow globe of the Renaissance. Do you want this snow globe? I'm asking for the last time. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. So Stephanie's like, well, I guess we got everything. You know, I'm like really positive about the place I'm in right now. And that can be the difference between winning and losing. So yay, positivity.
Really feeling it. So they go back to Tuscany and then it's the next morning and Melissa is very concerned about getting her octopus tender and Brian is like, oh, you're doing octopus? I'm doing octopus too. Wow. Well, there's going to be a lot of storytelling in my dishes. A lot of heart and soul in that octopus.
Because the stories need to come true. Just such a weird, I guess he meant on the plate, but such a weird way to put it. So in the kitchen, Stephanie's setting up, everybody's getting ready in the kitchen, you know, and Melissa is charring her octopus because she wants to do some barbecue.
Yeah. Well, she's doing, barbecue with like a sauce, the char siu sauce or char siu, I don't know. It's a sauce.
I'm just reading through my notes here. I'm like, and they're cooking, and they're still cooking.
And Malarkey comes in. Of course, Malarkey is an annoying, like, room enterer. He's like, hello, Shes. I'm like, you know what? Just walk into a room and say, hey, everyone. You don't even have to say anything. You just show up and be like, hey, I'm here. Like, you don't have to, like, make an announcement like you are trying to take over Guy Fieri's slot on the Food Network.
Yeah, he's always auditioning. He's the guy in the office to always bring donuts. But then he's like, oh my God, did you see how much donuts Ronnie ate?
Yeah.
He's that fucking guy.
Well, then he'll also tell you how to eat the donut and which donut you should like. You're like, oh, you're going to like that donut. You're going to like that one. You should have that one. You're going to like that one. I'm like, but I don't want a plum donut. No, you should have that donut. And then you have it and you're like, but I wish I had the chocolate donut.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's Come.
Now's the time for the latest blockbusters and award-winning movies with Now TV. Escape with Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker and lose yourself in award winners like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and The Lion King. Whatever you fancy, a Now TV Sky Cinema Pass has you covered, all with no contract. Start your 7-day free trial today. Search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto renews at $11.99 unless cancelled. Terms apply.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Higher than high-res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Oops, she did it again, it's Brittany Montano.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's Ferrelio, it's Lindsay Ferrelio.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
So then, let's see, Voltaggio is stabbing his meat. It's terrifying. He's just stabbing it.
And he's slicing beets. And then he winds up slicing beets. He's like, oh, looks like a crime scene back here.
And Stephanie's going to make a sticky toffee pudding, which I was like, no, I don't know why. But my first thought was, don't do that. Don't do it. Because it just sounds like something my meemaw would make. And then, or you know, if it pulls out your tooth or something. And I don't know. I'm just worried for Stephanie because I like her.
Yeah. I was also worried because you just had to deal with Malarkey, who's like just being annoying. He's like, Stephanie's menu tells a story, and we're going to tell that story in a book by the fire with my crazy face.
We are yin and yang. It's like, you're dumb. Okay, so Melissa makes some pasta, and she tells us how she used to work at Delfino's, and her job was to make pasta, and she had to spend the whole days, you know, cutting onions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then Brian is cooking some stuff, and Kevin's like, Brian Voltaggio, I know him well enough to know that he's on pins and needles, which is something that we put into coach class on Grandpappy's Airlines, just to keep the people having fun.
Yeah, just to be specific, neither pins nor needles are currently allowed on airplanes. Okay, read the website.
He's now an ambassador for his granddad's airline.
If we don't finish, this train is going to come off the tracks.
Like, okay, Kevin, thanks for being here. So Melissa is like, wow, this is so fresh, the feathers are still on here for her squab. And Stephanie's making some pasta, and she's telling us that she learned this dish from Barbara Lynch, and she's like, it's the first dish I made that wasn't pasta with red sauce. People die for it.
Yeah. It made me super excited about what pasta could do. See, look at all the excitement on my face. Yeah. So then Brian's doing some, he's making a chocolate thing, and he asks, he's like, so I guess like Kevin's working on a bunch of it. So Brian asks Kevin how the hazelnut ice cream component's going. And Kevin's like, I don't want to alarm you, but this is going to be delicious. Like, you know, it sounds very delicious, but I already hate it. I hate this entire dish now because of Kevin.
Yeah, he has that special spice.
Oh, and it just occurred to me later on. Well, I'll get to it when it comes up.
Okay.
I won't jump to it right now. I'll keep it in the back of my mind. A very important observation.
Okay. So Leanne's stirring custard because Melissa is going to make a tea tiramisu. And it becomes drama later. So she's like, I think this needs more tea powder. And then Leanne dumps like a whole bag of tea powder in.
Do you want some microgreens in there? Chives?
Candied walnuts. Would you you know what this would taste great with? A scarf made out of sunny side up eggs. I can just throw that in here if you'd like.
Should we put this in the pressure cooker? It'll be perfect. Anything? No. Okay. So then Stephanie is braising some veal. And Malarkey is very scared because it's not a very fatty piece of meat, and he's worried that it's not going to work out. But at the same time, he's like, but Stephanie's made this before, so I have to trust her. I'm like, you could say something. Like, say at least warn her, you know? Like,
yeah, if she's going down the wrong path. He does give her that face, you know, with his big cartoon face. He's like, that's the look he's giving her with his teeth just clenched. So Tom comes in, and Voltaggio's like, oh, well, you said you needed more feeling and story, so, oh, look at me, I'm feeling things. Oh, okay, I've given you fancy stuff. Oh, was that good? Was that good? Did I win?
Was that heart and soul?
I blacked out. Did I win?
So this is one of Tom's best segments ever, because this was the segment where Tom just decided to one-up everyone, which is great.
Yes, came out of nowhere. So good.
Every single person, he's like, yeah, I did that. I did that. Yep. Yeah, I did that. I did that. Yep. Did that too.
Because Voltaggio is making a fish stew, and he's like, it's native to Tuscany. And Tom's like, yeah, well, I know, because that's a dish I make every season.
Yeah. Yep. Brian's like, look, literally the only time I came to Italy was to learn how to make this dish. So there's a lot of heart and soul in it. I mean, I spent hours and hours and days and minutes, and I just lived and breathed this cacciuccio. And yeah, Tom's like, yeah, make it all the time.
Yeah, make it. I stayed home to make it. I stayed home to learn it from Food Wishes. So that was a good internet link. Yeah. So thanks.
Actually, it turns out your brother has a great recipe for it, and I use his. So in a certain way, you're kind of... I'm basing it, I'm sort of comparing yours with your brother's.
So then he's like, so Stephanie, how are you doing? Depressed? Mortified? Morbid mood? What are you feeling?
She's like, no, actually, I'm in a really good place. Planning a menu is like, I mean, look, like you have to put what matters, okay? So I'm doing a veal braised with milk and lemon because I learned it from Barbara, and I mean, she is just so amazing. He's like, yeah, I made that dish. I mean, I do it with pork, but yeah, I've done it. Yeah. I did it before Barbara, so fuck her.
Yeah, I know the dish. I mean, I've done it with pork. I mean, I would never do it with veal. I mean, only an idiot does that, but luckily you've got a sous chef who would warn you from falling into those pitfalls, so yeah, but I've done it. Done it many times. Many, many, many times. Yeah, it's great. I pretty much invented it. Yeah.
So then Melissa, she's like, you know, I want to take food from the region, and I found persimmons. I'd love persimmons. Is that a sweet one, which I use all the time? Well,
yeah, I actually introduced persimmons to Italy. Yeah, I actually planted all those trees. So you're sort of like cooking with me, basically.
Actually, one time when I was starting out, I actually cooked persimmons for Richard Simmons, which was actually the most amazing memory I've ever had. So good luck with this dish.
Yeah, he actually invited all of his family. So I actually had to figure out how many persimmons were persimmons.
So he's like, wow, Chinese. Huh. I don't know if anyone else is going to do Chinese tonight, but good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if anyone's doing a Chinese-Italian. I'm going to think, let's see, have I ever done it? Nope. There's probably a reason for that. So, yeah. All right. Good luck with doing something that I've never done. Hasn't been tested.
So then Melissa goes to check on her tiramisu, and she's like, yeah, did we make an extra one? Who doesn't make an extra one? What is wrong with me? She's like, well, yeah, these are dry. They're not soaked enough, so...
Then it's like, should I not have put in those chives and cilantro? Melissa's like, Leanne.
I actually put in a skateboard that I saw a kid on. It looked delicious, so I hope that didn't mess anything up.
I actually found a diorama when we're in Florence, and I sort of chopped it up and put it into all the tiramisus.
So they get to have dinner. They get to go to a special place for dinner, and they're like, where are we going? Where could this possibly be? And it's a chateau. Oh, actually, I guess that's the wrong place, but they're in like a little cabin.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, and so we see Tom is wearing a little beanie and he's cooking outside, and then we see Gail at a pot, and then Padma. Padma has like big glasses on, and she's like tasting food, like I know how to do this well, guys. I was in a Carl's Jr. commercial.
And I put, why am I crying? I started crying at this part. Okay. Why? I don't know. Because I thought it was so sweet that they were all like cooking and they were cooking for the chefs and they were being so nice. I cried a lot in this episode. I don't know what. Oh, sometimes things just sweet. Come over me and I'm like, and I don't cry enough. So when I do it, my eyes get really swollen and like it hurts my face. And then I go look in the mirror and I'm like, I just look wrong, you know? But I was crying. I don't know. It's been very touching. Okay.
Wow, chefs, you made a grown podcaster cry.
You made an extremely bitter person sob. Congratulations, chefs. So they go in, and Melissa's like, no way you're cooking. And Tom's like, huh, way.
And Voltage goes, oh. That was a great joke.
Yeah, guys, I'm just doing some sort of like a rustic farmhouse cooking, you know. Just reminding you that no matter how hard and all the effort you put into your meals tomorrow, this is probably going to just taste better. Just me throwing some meats into a fire and pulling them out. Just effortless, you know?
And I love Padma's cooking aviator glasses. She always wears those on Instagram. She's like, look, yeah, you can tell I'm serious about cooking because I'm wearing yellow-tinted aviators.
Hi, guys. Thanks for coming. Come in. Make yourself at home. You just missed my dear friend, Ali Wong. So if it feels a little funny in here, that's why.
Stephanie goes to Gail's little room, and she's like, Gail, do your kids like to cook? And Gail's like, well, the little one is too little, but he sure does like to shove his face. I wonder where he got that from. Am I right in the room?
And also, Padma was like, you guys want to help? What an honor. That's sarcastic. I normally employ David Chang and Jonathan Waxman, not you idiots.
So they all sit down for dinner, and Gail, wait, I think Padma made like a chutney, right?
Well, so Padma's like, I made a ribollita with Indian spices and a fig and ginger chutney with goat cheese raviola. Pretty simple stuff, not that Stephanie could do it.
And what did Gail make?
She goes, Gail, what did you make? And by make, I mean embarrass yourself with. Gail's like, well, I made a chicory salad. Oh, wow, you assembled lettuce leaves. Great.
And some roasted artichokes.
Difficult, Gail. Whoa, you're really upping the difficulty level.
We should rename the show Top Putter in the Oven.
Too bad this place didn't have a microwave for poor Gail to work her magic with.
She was going to top it with some garbanzo beans, but she couldn't figure out how to open a can without an opener.
So Tom shows off his squab. And white truffle lasagna. Oh my god.
It looks amazing.
It really did. And Stephanie's, you know, basically they all love it and stuff. So Tom's like, so how's prep going? And Padma's like, so Brian, was the second time around or the third time around?
Yeah.
Well, which one's easier?
Well, she says the table. She goes, so chefs, how different was it the second time? Or Brian for you, the third?
And he's like, well, I've got my third child now, so everything's very different when you're a father.
I guess you just have a little bit more heart and soul. Wow, the aroma in here is amazing. And then Padma just like turns to Gail and goes, by the way, Gail, your supremes are fantastic.
Gail's like, that's right. Fantastic. Well, great. Thanks, Padma.
Gail's just like waiting for like the other shoe to fall. And you look stupid. Oh, good. I couldn't. Had to let.
Your Supremes are fantastic. I'm sorry. I meant the Supremes are fantastic. God, I love their songs. Gail, did you make something tonight?
Gail, Tom was just telling us about how he made a truffled lasagna with squab in the wood-fired oven. And I was saying how I made a ribollita with Indian spices and a chutney with on bread. What were you saying again? You put some chicory on a plate? Was that what you were saying?
So then Gail comes out with her piece de resistance, the ricotta tarte. And I was like, okay, she saved it. Because I was like, come on, Gail, come on. I mean, you know, we just make fun of you for fun, but like we're really obsessed with you in real life. So I was like, come on, Gail. And then she whipped out that ricotta tarte. Yes,
I mean, Gail. Gail, this looks delicious. Now remind me how you made it. You took a tub of ricotta and put it on a plate and topped it with some sugar and baked it. Wow, sounds real advanced.
And so Melissa's like, wow, I'm seeing how much energy they put into this. And Tom grilled the squab, and I thought, wow, why didn't I think of that? So I'm going to do it. It's like, yes.
I got scared. I got scared that she was like pivoting and she was changing and she's going to try to be like Tom. I got really nervous at that point.
Yeah, but then you never know with Tom, you know, because then if she had done her own way, he would have been like, well, I just showed him how to perfectly grill a squab, and then you pants here.
I mean, you know, like, what's next? Are you going to start wearing a beanie while you grill your squabs? I mean, what's going on here?
So Stephanie gives a call home, but it's to Kristen. And just last week I was saying, wasn't she friends with somebody in her season?
Yes.
Well, yes, and here's our answer.
Yeah, and I thought it was what's-her-face, but this is the answer. It was Kristen, of course. It was Kristen.
Yeah.
So that solved. We did it.
Yeah, I felt so stupid.
You should have. So Stephanie's like, I think my chances of winning are 1 out of 3. And then Melissa FaceTimes her mom, Alice, and Alice is like, oh my God, you called me! You called me! She's like, okay, mom, calm down. Okay.
And then Voltaggio is on the phone, and guess who he calls? His brother.
Hey. Yeah, Michael's like, dude, I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited that we get to square off together tomorrow on the show. Oh, yeah, they invited me. So see you there. They actually said they already gave me the victory, so that's cool.
He's so heroin chic, the other Voltaggio. It's like, did you make heroin? Everyone's going to love that. Just cook some heroin, put it on a spoon, serve it up. They're going to love it, bro.
Yeah, seriously. So then, so now we're back in the kitchen, and guess what? The tiramisus are still a little dry. So now I'm like, oh, it's over. It's over for Melissa. The tiramisus are fucked up because she has only a small amount of time to remake them and make them set, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So.
And of course, Malarkey enters the kitchen like this. Who wants to make some money?
Ew. And like somewhere in San Diego, his wife just like sat up straight in bed, and she's like, oh.
he's back.
Yeah, it's like The Shining, the malarkeying.
So Leanne's like, well, where'd you guys go to dinner last night? And Melissa says that the judges cooked for them, and Leanne goes, shut the fuck up.
Did they need any chives or arugula or cilantro?
Candied walnuts? Anybody? Anybody?
Candied walnuts? Did they need some novelty sunglasses that said 2020?
And then we start to see the menus. Okay, now my screenshots can come into play. Well, damn it, where are they? I swear to you I had them pulled up. Okay. So now we see the menus while they give their little monologues under, like, oh, well, my brother thinks he's so great. Well, listen to this menu. And they're showing the menu. So Melissa's menu, her first course is going to be char siu glazed octopus. Her second course is going to be squash agnolotti with Szechuan chili oil. Her third course is grilled squab with persimmon, porcini, fermented black bean. And her fourth course is Hong Kong milk tea tiramisu if Leanne doesn't fuck it up.
Her fourth course is make a butcher cry tiramisu.
Oh, don't make me cry. Save that till the end. Save that till the end.
Okay. So you just interject, by the way, just interject whenever the menus come up, because I actually did not write down the menus.
Well, should
so
I write? Just, should I tell? Does anybody care?
Yeah, why don't you
I
just
never
go through
that?
No, I like it. Go through the other two menus as well. And then
so
we'll
you can hear my terrible Italian being read. I was like, yeah. Why did I set myself up for this?
Ronnie, I have to say, your Supremes were fantastic, Ronnie.
Oh, so that was hers. And then it cuts over to Kevin and Voltaggio. Kevin's like, I am going to knock out this seafood. So Brian's menu, first course is beets with tonnato, spicy arugula, bonito, and aioli. And his second course is lasagna with wild boar bolognese. And his third course, he's doing a monkfish with cacciocchio broth, octopus, squid ink focaccia, which is like, nod to your brother, ink restaurant. Fourth course is malted chocolate mousse, hazelnut ice cream, coffee, and cardamom soil, which sounds...
Okay.
Don't call things soil. How about that?
And to drink, you can have beverage. It's going to be club soda and vodka with ice all the way up to the top, and three limes and muddled mint. Okay? Call it the Voltaggio in Italy cocktail.
Whoa. So then Stephanie is making, for her first course, catafi wrapped shrimp with tangerine syrup. And her second course is taleggio cappelletti in roasted chicken broth. Her third course is milk braised veal, Parisian gnocchi, lemon rosemary sauce. And her fourth course, sticky toffee pudding and yogurt ice cream.
Little known fact, Gail's intramural soccer team is called the Sticky Toffee Puddings.
And her nickname in high school was Silky Gnocchi, so there's that. So then Stephanie is talking about hers, and she's like, oh god, this isn't ideal. I might have to do my agnolotti in a pan, but then pan frying the shrimp makes it so time sensitive. I don't know what to do. And Malarkey's face is just like,
yeah, he's just in a monkey chime face the entire time. Yeah. And Brian is talking about how he's making this lasagna, and he's like, by the way, his lasagna looks so amazing, I can't even deal. And so he's like, oh, I want my lasagna to be a shock. hey, bro, sorry, just so you know, I just made lasagna for the judges, just for the fun of it. So I said it was sort of like a Voltaggio thing, so I hope they didn't ruin the shock or anything. Anyway, great, have a great cook.
I want to shock them, so I'm going to serve it with squid ink focaccia. I was like, black bread, delicious. Actually, it reminds me of cake, so I definitely wanted to like dive into an Entenmann's. Do they still have Entenmann's, by the way?
Entenmann's, yeah, definitely.
Oh, God.
I love that black brick of cake, that chocolate cake.
Just eat it with your hands, just rip it apart.
When I was a kid, it tasted so good. Then I had it as an adult, and I was like, it tastes sort of like chemicals, but it's like, it's so good. And I love, you know what I love? The Entenmann's cookies, those little cookies. The chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't like that. I just like the big loaves. The loaves of the sweet loaves. Like the chocolate one I ate and the swirl one. I used to eat the swirl one. Oh, my God.
I actually have an Entenmann's cookbook because like 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago, they sent me when I was like doing a lot of food blogging, they sent me like a care package of like their cookbook and a bunch of like pans and I made a bunch of things out of the cookbook. It was really fun, and I don't know why I'm sharing this. That has nothing. The Supremes were great Supremes, gal.
So Voltaggio is whatever, who cares. So Padma comes in. Oh no, Padma's with the chefs, all the chefs, and she's like, happy finale. I'm like, okay, Padma, okay.
I hope we have something that's sort of savory in an unctuous sort of way. Or as the Italians say, sfizioni, Gail. Sfizioni. Practice it.
Gail, I'm so glad you could show up with a glitter curtain over your shoulder. That's really fun. You look like half of a cabaret stage, Gail. Congratulations. Loved your Supreme.
Wow, it's like Mount Etna just erupted right in front of us, except it's Gail.
So Melissa's working on her mushrooms, and she's like, porcinis are the second most important mushrooms. I just want to highlight the bounty of Italian ingredients. And then the guests are getting, you know, all ready to eat.
Yeah,
and Padma looks freaking stunning. My God.
Of course. I mean, she's like a knockout.
Dress.
She's just
Jeez.
Wonderful. And yeah, so we're seeing various judges. So there's Hunter Lewis, the editor of Food and Wine, and then we see Nilou and lots of people. And then back in the kitchen, Brian is now Brian Voltaggio. For the finale, Brian Voltaggio gives us a Brian Voltaggio laugh finale because he just starts laughing nervously and he can't stop. He's like, it's like, I can't stop laughing. I'm nervous.
I know. I feel like every time they cut to him, he's like, oh, 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 and Kevin's like, don't be nervous. We've got all the components. Let's see. You've got your veal. You've got your lasagna. You've got your first class tickets whenever you fly. Sorry, that's me.
So now
also my favorite guest judge is the guy, Tony is his name, whose hair is sticking straight up. He looks like a Static Cling commercial, like when the girl takes off her sweater and her hair is sticking straight up. Love it.
And it's just so funny because he has mad scientist hair, but he has like condescending chef talk. So he's like, making spaghetti in Italy is a bold move, and I personally would recommend only finishing it in the sauce for the last 30 seconds. I'm like, sir, your hair is standing up.
I know. It's like, only finish it in the sauce in the last... Ow! I just got shocked. Please don't touch me.
Like, he's in the middle of doing a static electricity, you know, experiment for the kids on PBS.
Yeah. So the first courses are all served together. All three are served together. And the butcher guy is the cutest fucking thing. He looks like he's in like a waiter at a
fun family Italian restaurant.
He's like a bullfight, like an Italian bullfighter, basically.
So we obviously have met him before because when they all saw him, he was like, carne. I remember that there was a quick fire. Was that last season? When was this? When was that? I don't remember. It wasn't this season, right?
I don't remember, but that was so fun. We did that for like 10 weeks, just going around. Like,
carne! So they all serve their food, and Stephanie... So then it gets really sad because Stephanie is saying... first of all, her dish looked amazing. Her wrapped shrimp. She said that she made it because it reminds her of her late brother because she used to fry him coconut shrimp. And then, of course, everyone's like crying. Everyone's like crying at the table. And
me too. Here was another tear. Yes, yep. I was crying like a fucking idiot. I had to rewind it. And then I was like, God, I have to hear this again. I don't want to hear it again.
Yeah, it was really sad. And then Melissa serves her octopus, and she's saying how she wants to marry her Asian flavors and Chinese heritage. And Dario's like, bravi, bravi, carne, bravi.
Bravi, empty plate.
Like he lifts his empty plates at everyone. And Padma's like, well, if this is how the rest of the meal is going to go, judge's table is going to be hard, and so is packing up boxes of extra food for you know who rhymes with male. You got Gail. That's all I'll say.
Judge's table is going to be very long, mainly because Gail will probably fall into a food coma that'll be impossible to wake her up from. So Nilou thinks that Melissa's octopus was a little too sticky and too sweet. Shut up, fake Gail. We didn't even invite you here. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm like very anti-Nilou. She's so needy and thirsty, and every single time she's like piping up first. You know, she's like, nah, shut up, Nilou. She's like, I think she never did her hoisin sauce.
Hey, Neely, remember the time that we went to a restaurant and I had my back to you the entire meal? That was great, wasn't it?
Hey, Neely, remember being friends with the celebrity Ali Wong? You don't? That's because you're not, Neely.
Hey, Neely, did you get invited to anyone's wedding from San Pellegrino? Oh, that's too bad because they're our friends from San Pellegrino, apparently not yours.
And then one of the guests is like, her memories, we can feel them, we can taste them.
Yeah, I love the Italian chefs. They're like being so poetic every single episode.
Yeah,
like,
they really are.
The food is like a lady who comes up from the pond and touches a bird and says, fly away to the world of cuisine.
The beet dish was beguiling. Love the bonito.
That was like the quote of the night because they kept going back to it. He said, your beets were beguiling. By the way, that is like the pinnacle of food culture pretension. The beet dish was beguiling.
Yeah. And Tony Static Cling is like, everyone has a beet salad, but this takes it to another level.
Beguiling. Hashtag beguiling.
So now they're plating the second dish, And Stephanie's got it pretty easy because she's only got two components. But Melissa is behind. And God, I fall for this every time. I mean, I've watched every season of this show. You would think that at some point I would get that everyone's going to get their plate out. But I fall for it.
Yeah. So the dishes come out and they're serving them. And so Stephanie serves her taleggio. And then Melissa puts down her squash. And then Brian brings out his lasagna. And Padma just goes, wow. Sorry, I was just thinking about Gale Supremes from last night. They were fantastic.
Well, I've made you a lasagna with a wild boar bolognese. A lot of people know me for a more modernist approach. Some might call it soulless, which is a lie. So I wanted to take this time and remind you that I have a mother, and she cooked for us, and she's very special to me. Thank you. Padma goes, wow.
Wow, that was so soulless and lacking heart. It's amazing that you're even standing here in front of us. Can we get your sister here instead? At least she was funny.
Can someone take the greeting card out of the Target Valentine's Day aisle out of here, please? I'd like to eat.
So then Tony's like, pasta is often not made correctly, and every single one of these pasta dishes are beautifully made. And Padma, why are you trying to pat down my hair? It was supposed to be going up like that. I can't stand it.
I'm getting addicted to my finger getting shocked. That's why.
It feels so fun.
So they loved all of these, pretty much. They say they were all really well balanced. And who has the thin pasta? Is that Stephanie? Someone's like, the pasta, it was so thin.
I don't know. It had to have been Stephanie's because Claire, the number one female chef in Great Britain, was like, that lasagna is very elegant. I like the lasagna a lot.
So complex.
But Melissa's dish is super complex. Unlike Gail's patterns, which we can all agree are boring. I like her. I like her a lot.
And Marcus is like, well, yeah, Melissa's food is completely original. You know, this is stuff none of us have had before. So I was getting my hopes up.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and Dario thought that the agnolotti prepared with Chinese influences were incredible. Incredible. Mm-hmm.
So then they're cooking, they're plating their third dish. And Kevin's like, okay, listen here. Now, fire, you're on the bench. Coles, you're up. You're up, Coles.
And Melissa is... she's like, I'm just like really scared of overcooking my squabs, and the flame is really low. So I was like, oh no, the flame is low. And she's like, which really works to my advantage because it's not overcooking them. I was like, that's the first time that's ever happened where the grill is like fucked up and it's actually helping them.
Yeah. And then Stephanie's telling Malarkey, oh God, this meat is eating dry. How do I undry it? And he's like, maybe you didn't read my face before, but this is what it said. You should have listened. Okay. You should have listened to my face.
He's like, just add lots and lots of sauce. Lots and lots of sauce. I'm like, oh, great. A great and elegant presentation. And so they put in like tons of sauce. And Malarkey goes, perfect. It's perfect. I was like, oh, that dish is fucked up. That's what that means. Whenever Malarkey says something's perfect, it means it's shit.
And Melissa's using the tweezers now. And she's got these little tiny circle of persimmons. It looks beautiful. So they serve their third course. And Melissa presents her grilled squab with persimmon.
Wow. Puccini. Let me just say it again. As chief wower at the table, I just would like to say, wow.
Puccini, mushrooms.
Wow.
And fermented black beans, something.
Whoa.
This is, hold on, everybody. Hold for it. This is a fermented wow.
Wow.
Melissa, did you mean to include a shot glass that says Florence on it? Oh, damn it, Leanne.
So Brian serves his blackened monkfish with calamari toast, his squid ink toast. And Stephanie does her milk braised veal with Parisian yogi.
Okay, chefs, you do have one course left. And there's a lot riding on dessert, and not just Gale, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Because everything else was so universally wonderful. So go get in the kitchen and give us some sweets, okay, you dumb poor people? Out of my face.
And guess who's first to talk? Fucking Nilou, okay? She's like, I do not like squab, but she's made me a convert. I'm a squab convert. Tell your mommy.
Oh, congratulations, Nilou. Do you want an award or something? Get out of here.
And then one of the judges is like, persimmons, they're so difficult.
Never seen them so tiny. Difficulty on the persimmons gets the gold.
Wrong no, challenge, you know what I like about stupid.
You know what I like about it? You know, when you want sweetness, you go to the puree, and when you want meatiness, you go to the porcinis, and when you just want to, like, see what it sounds like with a plate, just to be on a fork on a plate, you just sort of swirl your fork around the rims of the plate, and then when you want to go back to the sweetness, you're like, hey, I'm going back to sweetness. You know, there's just so many options, unlike, you know, someone who chose a career in mixology. Not a lot of options. Not a lot.
Marcus is like, this porcinis, they're almost, it's a foie gras reference. It's referencing foie.
And Tom's like, yes, yes. Like, whoa, whoa, Tom, relax.
So they think that the veal was overcooked, which it was, admittedly. And they also diss Stephanie's gnocchi, which they say is crusty. How dare you people?
Hey, Neelu, want to give us a childhood dissertation about what you think about gnocchi? Because we're waiting.
So let's see. Brian, Gail's like, Brian is showing that he was pushing to give us an all-encompassing experience.
Yeah. And then Hunter goes, you know, Brian's bread, it wasn't able to sop the way I wanted it to. I wanted to be beguiled, but I was just left in a state of ennui.
It didn't sop the way I wanted it to.
Well, you should go talk to Gail. She knows how to sop.
So now it's dessert time. Melissa's tiramisu worked out, so yes.
Yes.
And Leanne's like, phenomenal job. So yes. And Leanne's like, phenomenal job. Your menu is so amazing. It's minus some candied walnuts, but you know what? You do you, sister. Good for you.
You do you. I did you the favor of adding some microgreens to that tiramisu on top, so I think everyone's going to enjoy that. So Brian's like, I put a lot of thought into my journey and how I got here and why I'm here for the third time and how somehow three times on Top Chef I've never won a quick fire and my brother has somehow won every quick fire even on seasons he's not on. Even my sister won a quick fire and I'm trying not to spiral. It's like the aroma.
Cardamom.
I'm just going to say that so everyone knows that I know what cardamom tastes like. Cardamom. Hey, Gail, have you ever tried to supreme a cardamom pod? No? Too bad.
Well, I've made you a mousse made with malted chocolate and coffee soil.
Sounds delicious.
And I would like to say from the back that chocolate dessert is in the shape of a ball. So you're welcome, everyone. You're welcome.
And Stephanie's like, sticky toffee pudding. That's true. I didn't even think about that.
That was what my Kevin thought was like, from earlier.
Do it in balls. Trust me. Trust me on this one. Balls.
Remember I said I was going to mention something later? There it was.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Kevin's presence. There was a chocolate ball.
Kevin made his voice heard in that kitchen, damn it.
Yeah, and Kevin was working on that dessert. So there you go. Oh, and by the way, can we also mention it was a malted chocolate mousse with hazelnut ice cream, coffee, and cardamom soil. So, you know, it looked absolutely delicious to me. Like, I wanted just to have five of those right there. As much as we make fun of Brian Voltaggio, I mean, he is amazing, okay? He is amazing, and everything he made looked absolutely wonderful. But that being said, I am so done with desserts having things like a cardamom soil.
Yeah, I can't or, with soil.
Or a, like it has a sand or a soil. Just call it a crumble, please.
Dude, soils okay? and foams. I can't.
And I'm someone who loves being pretentious. I love, love, love being pretentious, okay? But just stop calling it soils and sand or whatever. It's
but
just
it's
annoying.
Like, it's like overdone pretentious, you know? It's done. Yeah. It's over. It's like when people say, oh my God, that menu is very 80s. It's like, that's what they're going to be saying very soon to soils and foams.
Okay? I just feel like that soil didn't sop the way I wanted it to.
So Stephanie presents her sticky toffee pudding, and she's like, I'm really proud of this. I had a donut pop up, and they make me smile. And Padma just looks at her like, oh, God, can someone get this woman an investor pop-up shop? I'm so embarrassed for you.
It's funny, because around the office, we call Gail a donut pop-up.
I'm sorry, that's donut popper. Seriously, throw one up the air. She's like a poodle with a treat.
That's just a little inside joke I have with my dear friend Ali Wong.
So then Melissa presents her Hong Kong milk tea tiramisu. And Tom kind of gives a weird look. I love just watching Tom's face.
Yeah.
And Padma's like, I would like to take a moment to thank everybody for such an amazing season. And someone please sent over a fly swatter for this annoying woman sitting to my left. Me? Yes, Nilu, you. Do I need to spell it out?
Oh, wait a second. Nilu looks like she's about to weigh in on something. Let me just turn my chair around. Okay, speak to the back.
And Nilu's like, Brian started with Earth and he ended with Earth. I mean, he really wrapped his arms around death and the basic human life cycle. Can I get an amen from anybody here? That would be great.
Great insight, dum-dum. And Tom is having an issue with Brian's dessert. He's like, you know, we all expected a liquid center with something that would just spill out. Yeah, thanks, Padma. Spill out, yes. Spill out. You notice that Padma just like jumped in there? Weren't you the one who said that once every episode, Padma just like yells something out?
Yeah, she's always trying to finish people's sentences like they're
too
stupid.
That's what she did right there. She literally goes, spill out. I got it, Tom. I said it. I guess you weren't quite fast enough, Nilu.
So then Nilu, she's like,
the toffee was moist and tender. I mean, it didn't really involve the life cycle or, you know, birth to death, but whatever. Good job. Good job, tender person, Stephanie. Good job.
Nilu, I have to say, I really enjoyed your Supremes from last night. Oh, that's right. You weren't invited to our dinner. Sorry. That was Gail.
So they're talking about the milk tiramisu, and Gail's like, it was made beautifully, but that's all. It was made beautifully. I'll save my shittiness for later when I'm obviously stumping for Voltaggio to take this whole thing.
And then Hunter goes, you know, I wanted another layer of bitterness, like maybe from a spice. Right. I agree.
Did you mean to say layer?
Spill out. I wanted to try to spill out.
Is that what you meant?
Remember that? Yeah, bitterness. Right. Beguiling. Right.
And then Butcher Guy is like, oh, it is all very good. But my favorite is Melissa because of the respected tradition of Italy. And I was like, oh my God, and crying again. This show's going to make me...
Molto cry, baby.
I'm going to be sent to an asylum.
Yeah, he's like crying. Yeah, he's like, Melissa made an interpretation. I'm saying it as if he said this in English. It was all in Italian. He's like, Melissa made an interpretation of one of our traditions, and she made it from the heart. It makes me very emotional. And Padma just goes, ah. I'm pretending to care.
Back in the kitchen, Malarkey's being wacky. He's like, hey, there's a twist. They need one more dish.
Yeah, just kidding, guys.
Well, everyone, I want to thank you all for making it through a meal with this embarrassing butcher who's crying. I mean, a grown butcher crying over a tiramisu, right? Perfecto, not really.
We saw the story of all of your lives on these plates. I mean, Melissa, the heart, Stephanie, the sorrow, Voltaggio, basically you fed us an iPhone.
Wow, we saw so many wonderful things. I mean, Stephanie had so much emotion, and Melissa, cool haircut, and Brian. It's strange how your lasagna actually spelled out the letters, not Michael. That's amazing.
So they go to Melissa's octopus, and Nilo's like, on point. They loved hers. And then
the crispiness
Stephanie...
of the tentacle was on point. The crispiness of the tentacle. I'll tell you who has a crispy tentacle. Anyone want to finish that joke for me? No? Fine.
So then they move on to Stephanie. And Stephanie's like, you know, I thought if I was going to cook with my heart, it was a food memory. It wasn't my cooking, but it smiles. It makes me smile through my tears when I remember it. Tom's like, did it already? That was fun when I did it. Anyone remember that? I loved making that dish. I did it.
And then Gail starts to cry. She thinks, you know, she thought the texture was perfect and she loved the arugula. Get it together, Gail. We're going to have to call you a butcher at this point.
Who's OTM?
OTM? Tom.
Oh, Tom.
Who is Tom. This new character who came in at 11th hour named OTM?
Oh, wow. So Tom's like, whoa, you know what?
You nailed the crispiness. Wow, you really nailed it. And Padma's like, Brian Hunter said your beets were beguiling. Then we threw balls at his head and told him he's not picked. It was really fun. What a nerd, am I right?
I said, you know what's beguiling? This piece of bread in your face. Here, enjoy. Throwing it at you.
So moving on to second chorus. Tom's like, well, wait. We had three great pastas, so check that box. Three great pastas.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And Neela's like, Stephanie, your brodo was so rich and dense. Your brodo's rich and dense, fuckface. Sorry, got away from me a little bit.
But you know what, Brian, sometimes you can't get a presentation from a dish, and that's fine. You know, I know the comments had to hurt you last week, you know, calling you soulless, which you still are, and, you know, lacking emotion, which you still do. But you proved that you could cook with what looks like a heart, which basically makes you a culinary sociopath. So congratulations.
That was, by the way, so cruel of Tom, because I thought that lasagna looked beautiful, the way he sliced it and the way he presented it. And he goes, you know, sometimes you just can't get a presentation out of a dish, and that's fine. I was like, damn. You know, Brian was like inside, like, well, I thought it was actually pretty beautiful. But
just so you know, I know we asked for heart and soul, but it doesn't mean we want you to actually cook with soul fish and heart of artichoke. That doesn't count. Same thing.
And then Gail moves to Melissa, and she's like, thanks for showing us how naturally two cultures can work hand in hand as long as they're in a dish, which was delicious. So thank you. And Neelu's like, I love the crispy bits of skin. Now Neelu, the rest of the episode, just talks about how she loves anything crunchy in anything.
Okay? Oh, wow. It sounds real beguiling. So now we go to the third course, and Tom's like, you know, Brian, your monkfish is a little dry. I kind of feel like if I cooked it, it'd probably be better, just because that seems to be the way it is. And Neela's like, the bread was very dramatic, and I wanted it to be as delicious as it looked, but it was terrible. It was terrible.
Fortunately, it was horrible. Sorry. Did you already do Stephanie's gnocchi?
No, that's next.
It was basically
like Gail trying to put on slippers in the morning.
Yeah, I'm balanced. Thank you, Padma. Thank you.
What's the opposite of beguiling, Gail? I think the opposite is no. I wasn't asking you. I was saying, is Gail the word for the opposite of beguiling?
And Stephanie's like, yeah, I struggled with that. She's like, I could tell. But Melissa, your dish gave me a deep feeling of just being here, the bird, the mushrooms, the chestnut.
You know what made me really feel like I was in Italy? That souvenir Italian flag you put into the middle of your dish. Now, why did you do that? I think that was actually Leanne.
And Neela goes, the mushrooms were a revelation. Best dish.
Everyone was gobsmacked by the mushrooms.
I mean, it was like the last story in the Bible kind of revelation. I mean, just amazing.
Speak for yourself, stupid.
And dessert.
And Neela's like, sticky toffing pudding happens to be my mother-in-law's favorite dessert. So I'm always having it. I can see that.
You know why? Because I love crunchy little bits of brittle. It's a crunchy bit. I love it. The only thing that would have made this better was some crackers and some chicken skin.
I'm going to have to ask for that recipe. Well, good luck with that. So probably Gail, mess it up, Neelu.
Gail's like, Brian, your dark chocolate, that's all I care about. I mean, you played off that ganache so perfectly. Just spectacular. And Neelu loved Neelu. God, bravo. Neelu loved the lovely cloud of milk tea and the tiramisu.
It made Dario cry. Tears. Actual tears. It was so embarrassing for him and the country of Italy. Am I right, everyone?
He has since been shoved in a trunk and then given cement slippers for the ocean. We won't be seeing him again.
Yeah, the big butcher was crying. The big bad butcher cried over your tiramisu. I mean, who would have thought there would actually be tears in a tiramisu? Am I right?
So then the chefs give their final
please, basically. Melissa's like, as chefs, we're artists. And, you know, I could, I just hope you can really see our journey, you know? And it just makes me so happy to be here. I'm just so, so grateful to be here. And Voltage was like,
yeah, well, you know, I know this was my third time, but out of all times, this is the most special because I feel things.
Well, because I've really developed my heart and soul, I've enjoyed every moment, even when Kevin tried to turn my food into a giant ball.
And Stephanie just says that she was really suffering from severe depression since her brother passed, and it also hurt the people around her. That, of course, I'm like,
yeah.
And
she said that she was, yeah, that she's like, I did a lot of damage to people that love me by being so sad, and I didn't know how to say I'm okay, and this is my way of saying I'm okay. It's also your way of saying that you. It's also your way of saying you still can't cook Indian food. Just so you know, okay, that's a word I'd describe your food most this season.
Thank you for all your sweat, effort, heart, and sunny side up scarves. Now we have a very big decision to make. Go away.
Yeah, get out of here, you crazy kids. So now they start to judge. So three great first courses. Okay, so what do we think? Who do we like the most? So Gail picks Brian's, you know, because there was just so much acid and earthiness. And need I say it again? Beguiling beats. Am I right, everyone? Beguiling.
But, you know, it made me feel like I don't need the veal. And Tom's like,
oh, well, yeah, because Padma's whole thing is, God, I forget the name of that dish, the beets thing. But she normally has the veal version. She's like, this is my favorite dish. It's my favorite dish. So I really like it more than everyone else. Okay, even with beets. I'm just going to like it so much because I just love this preparation the most.
Totally turned me against veal. Thanks a lot, beguilers.
So then we go to the second dish, and Nilu loved the cappelletti. Wow, that was just wonderful. The crunchiness in the crunch and the crunch. I'm going to make it for my mother-in-law.
And Gail's like, well, Voltaggio's dish, while of course more traditional, blew me away. God, Gail, stop stumping.
Yeah. I'm just sad that it looked like such a piece of shit on the plate, am I right? I mean, I know about lasagna forever, but this is lasagna for no one because it was so ugly. Am I right? Anyone?
But Melissa gave me something new and exciting, and the beautiful crackle of chicken skin. Oh my God, I just loved it!
Don't you love the rush of getting something new and exciting, as opposed to when you want a new Gale and you just get Nilu instead?
So the third dish, Nilu's like, I loved Melissa's porcini. That was perfection. It was basically crunch on top of something. Perfect.
Poor Gail, when she heard that they would be serving porcini, she went outside and tried to take a bite of an actual porch. Big difference, Gail.
And guess who Gail likes? Shocker. She's like, but Brian gave us the most delicate. Does she say prosciutto? How did I write that?
Well, there was that monkfish, I thought that Brian's was, I thought it sort of was eating dry a little bit. The monkfish, dry.
Wasn't the meat ate dry, Stephanie's? Oh, damn it. There's too much food.
The veal ate dry, but his monkfish also, Tom had said that the monkfish was a little dry too.
Oh, okay. And he's like, well, you know, look, obviously Stephanie struggled, which is too bad because she was on a roll here. So, it's too bad.
So now they go to dessert. And Gail thought that Stephanie's dessert was more homey and fun. Well, of course she feels that way. I mean, sticky toffee pudding is basically the dress barn of desserts. Am I right?
I mean, the only shocker here was that she wasn't serving this from a couch while holding a cat. So back in the stew room, Stephanie's like, yeah, at this point, I'm just going to aim for fan favorite. I'll start cracking up. Neely's like, well, that green tea dessert, I mean, what a leap. But you know what? It brought a grown man to tears, and that is really high praise.
Why is it that, like, bringing a grown man to tears is, like, a benchmark for being so excellent? Men are allowed to cry, people.
No, we're not. Okay? No, we're not. So, this show would get an Emmy for this episode alone if that
gave you a gold medal because I've been crying this whole time. So Padma's like, I love Brian's dessert. I mean, soil.
Soil. And on top of that, it had the bitterness that other dishes didn't have because they didn't have a spice like cardamom.
Hmm. And Tom gives Stephanie a shout for doing, you know, growing the most all season. And Padma's like, Brian not only embraced where he was, but he let himself go. He opened up in a way that I don't think any of us have seen. It was like being hugged by a toaster oven.
He opened up in ways that none of us have ever seen before, and quite frankly, it was terrible. I want him to close back up again. Thank you.
Mm. And Gail's like, well, overall, Melissa's way of creating a complete story was transporting. I'm not even here right now. I'm actually on a hill somewhere in Sweden.
Everyone hide your meatballs. So Padma's like, it's like, well, I think we have our new top chef. So Nilu, you can go home now. Bye.
So everybody comes in and their family's there. And we get Tom's final monologue of the season. He's like, well, the voyage is to become top chef. And the stakes are higher because it's all stars. And sometimes the voyage is more important than the destination. And the journey you take when you go deep down inside yourself and find out what you're made of generally ends in getting to a great place, which you can be proud of later. And you're not working for tips at a bar mixing juice with vodka. So congratulations. Yeah. At least you've all done that.
Yeah. I mean, when you sit there on those nights after cooking and you're thinking about it, you just go deeper and deeper and deeper. And what comes out is who you are. I mean, unless, of course, you've chosen to be a mixologist. And then at the end of the night, you just go home and see what you can scrap together to pay rent. You know, but you guys seem to have made that journey. So only one of you can be top chef. So,
Padma?
Melissa, you are top chef.
At which point, oh, by the way, their parents are there too. And then Melissa's mom is like, ah!
She just starts sobbing. And so do I. Yeah. Oh, gosh. What a great, great time.
I know. Stephanie feels like she's still like, you know what? She feels accomplished. She's, you know, she feels like she's accomplished what she came here to do, which is to like get really far. And she's glad that this is what she can talk about. And then Kevin goes up to Brian and is like, I tried my best for you, but it turns out Granddaddy wasn't there to fix the answer. So couldn't really get you out of this jam, unfortunately.
I just want you to know that just because you didn't win, it doesn't mean that you don't got the balls. Get it?
And you'll always have a seat on coach in Granddaddy's airline.
And Voltage is like, well, I've learned a lot about myself. I made it into the finale 3 times, which isn't a huge accomplishment that only I could do. 3 times I've done this, so that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's 16 other top chefs out there, but there's only one person who's done what I've done.
Which is get to the finale 3 times without ever even winning a quick fire.
And then Padma's like, oh my god, you also won $250,000, which is adorable. Did you think that's actually a lot of money? And then they
anyway, now that the season's over, I'm gonna go back to hang out with David Chang and other famous people while you know, ride on a scooter to wherever you're going. I guess you're gonna be doing Uber now. I don't know.
Hmm. So then Gail posted an Instagram, which was cute, you know. She's like, do not flip through these pictures if you do not want to be spoiled. These will say the winner. And I just want to go through those so I can see how many people are like, thanks for the spoiler, Gail! Because I was like, this woman can't win, you know. But well, one of the pictures is Padma about to pour a champagne glass, I'm guessing over Melissa's head, but it looks like she's going to get it all over Gail. And I was like, what a perfect ending to this.
Well, you know, the thing is, Gail, like, well, I don't know what if Gail realizes this, but if you do a carousel, the logarithms are, like, when you first post it, you only see the first picture. But then later on, after you've seen the first picture, it will then serve another photo from the carousel. So she still probably spoiled it for, like, a lot of people. So way to go, Gail. You really Gailed that one up.
Oh, that's so Gail.
Classic Gal.
Well, that brings us to the end of this season of Top Chef. We sure love you, Top Chef. Now Mondays will be taken by Married to Medicine Los Angeles. We are going to do a full recap of that this week. It'll be up, gosh, tonight or tomorrow morning. But our schedule's going to change a little bit. So everybody, yep, keep your eyes. Changing schedule over here. Bravo.
Yep. And so we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Now's the time for the latest blockbusters and award-winning movies with Now TV. Escape with Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker and lose yourself in award-winners like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and The Lion King. Whatever you fancy, a Now TV Sky Cinema Pass has you covered, all with no contract. Start your 7-day free trial today. Search Now TV. 18 plus new customers only. Auto renews at $11.99 unless cancelled. Terms apply.